A warning that the story covers sensitive material, including sexual abuse. Earlier this month, a documentary called Sugarcane showed at the Main Street Landing Film House in Burlington. It takes up something that's pretty hard to talk about, residential schools. These schools, also called boarding schools, were government-sponsored, church-run institutions that Indigenous children attended, often by force, during the 19th and 20th centuries in the U.S. and Canada. The schools were designed to strip children of their Indigenous language, culture, and community, and assimilate them into white, Christian, European society. Investigations by both federal governments have since shown that thousands of children died at these institutions. They also note widespread physical and sexual abuse that created lasting trauma for survivors and their descendants.
So you can't sit in a room and then just start talking about it.
Beverly Little Thunder is a 76-year-old Huntington resident and Lakota elder, enrolled in the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe in North Dakota. Several generations of her family have firsthand experience with these boarding schools.
It has to be something that people are willing to talk about. And a lot of our elders, you know, who are in their 80s and 90s, they just kind of shake their heads and get this, you know, sad look on their face. And yeah, that was hard. And then change the subject.
But Beverly says this documentary, Sugarcane, is helping bring up the conversation.
There's been a lot of chatter online, you know, in the Native community about it.
Beverly and her daughter, Lushanya Echeverria, attended the Burlington screening of Sugarcane with Vermont Public reporter Elodie Reed. Here's Elodie.
In the car on the way to the theater, Beverly shares what she knows about her mom's and aunt's time in boarding school.
One time my mom were talking and I was sort of eavesdropping. I was doing something in the room. And my Aunt Gloria said, you know, Christina, she says, remember the time they put us each in a closet and locked the door and left us there overnight? And she's because we were playing with our dolls and we were talking in Lakota. And my mom said, yeah. My aunt said, we were just 4 years old. She says, what makes someone do that to a baby? She said, we were so babies. And she started crying and my mom started crying. I really don't know, you know, the extent of what how it affected her. I know that she, you know, she was not real physically affectionate. But then how could she be? I'm sure she was modeling after, you know, the people that she was around when she was growing up.
Which school did your mom go to?
She went to Flandreau.
Flandreau Indian School in South Dakota is on the United States list of federal Indian boarding schools. It still operates as a federally run off-reservation boarding school for Indigenous students, one of the few left in the country.
And Beverly, did you attend a boarding school?
I was in boarding school for about 6 months. And then I was sent to another boarding school for about 6 months. And then I went to another boarding school. And I was sent up to a school called Intermountain up in Utah.
Intermountain Indian School is also on the list of federal Indian boarding schools. It operated from 1950 to 1984.
They were mean. That's all I can say is they were mean. You know, I don't think anyone ever spoke with a kind word or in a gentle way. They would pull our hair. It was past the time when they would cut your hair and past the time when, you know, you would get in trouble if you spoke your language. But by then, most of the kids that were there didn't speak their language. There was also a lot of Christian doctrine that, you know, was spilled on us, and it was like, I don't like this. So, and I was old enough where I felt like I could make it on my own, so I ran away.
How old were you?
I was probably about 13.
13?
Yeah.
As we drive toward the theater, I ask Beverly how she's feeling about going to see a documentary that inevitably will reflect some of these experiences.
It was something that I wanted to see. I know that it'll probably evoke some emotions, but I think that film and its content should evoke emotions. And it can be a reminder of the work that still needs to be done.
We arrive in Burlington just as the sun casts a deep golden hue over Lake Champlain. Beverly's daughter, Lushanya, turns around from the front seat to look at her mom, who's in the back with me.
What?
We're going to let you off here.
Okay.
We're just going to go park.
Okay.
We all walk into the Main Street Landing building.
While we're walking, Lushanya, can you tell me why you're here as well?
Yeah, this story is very interesting to me because the matriarchs in my family were raised with the boarding school mentality, mindset, and practices, but also as an educator, I worked with many Native American families whose families, their participation in boarding schools impacted their current modern day students' attendance at school and trust in schools. So I worked with a lot of families around boarding school trauma healing and stuff.
Inside, Beverly and Lushanya get some popcorn.
Do you want to taste it to make sure it's
not like salt?
Then we all find our seats in a sold-out theater.
I'm just looking around trying to see if there's other Native people here, and I don't see any yet.
We've overheard some people saying that because of the title, they thought it was about sugarcane, and they're very surprised about what the topic is. That's always great.
Just before the lights go down, Lushanya leans towards Beverly to make sure she has some tissues. And then...
All right. I'm going to turn this off.
I have felt dirty as an Indian all my life in residential school.
The nearly two-hour film braids together three stories stemming from the British Columbia-based Williams Lake First Nation. The reserve is known as Sugarcane, and the residential school there was St. Joseph's Mission. It follows an investigation into the atrocities that took place at the Catholic-run school.
For decades, there were reports of neglect, children dying or disappearing from this facility.
It bears witness to survivors voicing their stories, including filmmaker Julian Brave Noisecat's father.
You do know what happened with me, right?
I want to know the whole story.
And it documents another survivor as he seeks accountability from the Catholic Church.
Being sorry for something is just the first step. You have to take action.
The film holds these stories and surrounds them with scenes of natural beauty, affection between family, vibrant culture, and solemn spirituality. Behind it all is a resonant score composed by Odinak First Nation musician Molly Obomsawin. At the end of the documentary, statistics flash across the screen to remind the viewer that, while this is the story of one community, these schools, designed for Indigenous cultural erasure, were built across Canada, across the United States. In fact, one school on the list was in Vermont. While different in scale to the residential schools that operated for decades, assimilating thousands of Indigenous youth, a Baptist missionary did send two Potawatomi teenage boys to the medical school in Castleton in the late 1820s. That's according to reporting by the Burlington Free Press. The Free Press also found out that those two boys died from tuberculosis within a few years, and that, quote, both were stripped of their native identities by the times of their deaths, end quote. As the theater lights come back up and audience members begin to chatter, Beverly and Lushanya stay silent, except for blowing their noses. We continue in silence out of the theater and into the building lobby. There, Beverly takes a seat and she begins to speak.
That was hard. And I think about all the people I know my age. You know, that suffered through their parents, and their parents' dysfunction. And probably some of them didn't even understand why. And they kept talking about healing. They kept using that word heal. And I wondered, I thought I knew what it meant, but I don't think I know what it means. Because, you know, how do you heal from something like that?
Beverly notes the moment in the film when a residential school survivor goes to the Vatican to ask for some kind of response to the well-documented sexual abuse of indigenous children perpetuated by the Catholic Church. During the summer of 2022, Pope Francis traveled to Canada to give a formal apology for the church's role in the residential school system. And for Beverly, this brings up a personal experience she had as a child in a church-run orphanage where she lived in addition to federally run boarding schools.
And I was sexually abused by a nun. But I know what it's like not to talk about it. It wasn't nice that the Pope said he was sorry. It's so easy to say I'm sorry after the damage is done. There's so much going through my mind right now.
One of those things running through Beverly's mind is the response of the people in the theater around her to what they just witnessed.
Even listening to them clap, seeing it as, you know, an art form, a film, how done it, well done it was, and how it was produced. And I just wondered how many people that were sitting around me and that saw it. Really understood. I heard two ladies talking about their geraniums.
I noticed you both holding hands a number of times. But really, how did it feel to have Lushanya next to you?
I was glad she was there.
You want me to kick their asses? The geranium.
No, go find out what variety they were.
That story was produced by Vermont Public's Elodie Reed.